Good evening and welcome to the Dave the Mystic Show. This is episode number 278 with returning guest Shirley B. and the Mandela Effect. Please consider signing up for show and mount announcements or finding out more information through my website at www.davethemystic.com. Our returning guest is Shirley B. We will be talking about the Mandela Effect tonight. Shirley is an intuitive reader, a medium, and an energy worker. It is always a pleasure to have her on the show.
Well, welcome, Shirley. Thanks for being on the show again.
Hi, Dave. As always, I am so happy to be back. I have the most greatest and interesting conversations with you on the show. So we're definitely got a great subject for tonight that I am so looking forward to your expertise and looking forward to your theories, and I certainly have some discoveries of my own, and this is called the Mandela Effect. And Dave, of course, you have certainly been doing some study on the Mandela Effect yourself.
Oh, yes. Well, why don't you go ahead for the listeners and explain what the Mandela Effect is, how it got its name.
Well, this is something from Fiona Holmes, I do believe it is the name of the gal that named this Mandela Effect, because many have memories of Nelson Mandela dying back in the 80s in prison. They remember the funeral, they remember the articles that he had died. There's even some pictures of old articles in the mirror and old globes that are showing that Nelson Mandela has died in prison. As we all know, Nelson Mandela got out of prison and he became president and died recently in 2013. So she named it the Mandela Effect because there is a mass consciousness of people that are remembering things very differently than the way things appear today. And this has become a huge discussion, especially in the time frame of about 2015 to 2016. Also, many researchers have been noting searches on the internet where certain very famous lines in movies and things as we remember them have been starting to become searched for in quite a spike manner. These are things that were probably, you know, searched for very rarely. And starting in about 2008 to 2010, searches were starting to spike over certain things where people are claiming that no, it did not happen this way. And these spikes keep going into further and further volume as time is going on. Very, very obvious changes have been taking place according to many of us who think that our memories have become very faulty, that perhaps we just didn't remember it right. People explain things as, oh, well, you know, maybe this death was faked, so, you know, this person would be able to be, you know, survive and, you know, and taking care of a lot of these kind of things over Osama bin Laden. Probably they remember him dying 3 or 4 times. And we start to question our own sanity. But what starts to really become clear is if it's just you not remembering things correctly, but you have a mass consciousness of about, you know, close to thousands of people who are remembering things differently the same way, then obviously some kind of changes or alternate reality that has become now the timeline that we live in becomes much more obvious. And I think that many are finding this very disconcerting. I think they are wanting answers. And of course, there are others saying you are out of your mind. This is the way things have always been. What are you talking about? We even have family members who can remember things completely and totally different. And I know that I remember Muhammad Ali dying at the age of 71 from Parkinson's. I remember the funeral. I remember him dying. And he just recently got treated for a respiratory issue at age 74 and is quite alive.
Well, he passed this morning, so we'll
correct
that. Oh,
he did pass this morning. How interesting. But
yes, for listeners, we're recording this show on June 4th. So.
Okay. Well, that is very interesting. Well, but he appeared to have lived three more years than many of us remember it.
Mm-hmm.
We have noted misspellings or different spellings of celebrities, such as, I do remember Christopher Reeves. I remembered a talk back with Richard Bartlett with Matrix Energetics that noted that the name Reeves seemed to have a principality of strength, like Keanu Reeves, who played in The Matrix. The one who played Tarzan, his last name was Reeves, and he also brought up the example of Christopher Reeves. However, if you certainly look up on the internet, and certainly most people are saying, no, his name is Christopher Reeve, not Christopher Reeves. This is another one of those effects that seem to have people scratching their heads. The name of Reva McIntyre appears to have a different spelling of what we remember. Shannon Doherty is spelled differently than how we remember. And this just keeps going on. Now, I do have the Mandela Effect quiz in front of me, as do you, Dave. So these are some of the most obvious changes that are being talked about. And, of course, we can go through some of these changes in order to enlighten our listeners or what seems to be changes according to our memories. And then I would love to get into theories of what happened and why this is happening now. I know that the most obvious one is the Berenstain Bears. And Dave, do you remember it as Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears?
Growing up and talking to many other people, everybody agrees that I've talked to is Stein, so Berenstain, Stein, however, but not the way that they have it now.
Well, those who are the authors of the Berenstain Bears are literally thinking we have lost their mind. They explain why it's been Berenstain Bears, why it's always been Berenstain Bears, and when they migrated from Europe into the United States, of course, they changed their name, and they said that it has always been Berenstain Bears, you know. Of course, we think that, you know, Michael Berenstain perhaps has always been in this timeline and never remembers it as Berenstain as we do, because in his timeline, it just never existed that way. So he's just scratching his head and going, where are all of you getting Berenstain Bears? But this is one of the most obvious changes that have come up. Some of the others that are just very disconcerting are some of the greatest movie lines in history that have stuck with us. And I remember the T-shirts, and I remember a friend of mine whose son was named Luke, would say, Luke, I am your father. If you pull up the trailers in Star Wars, obviously it's now, no, I am your father. And people think they lost consciousness because some of the greatest lines in movie history has been changed. Of course, another obvious effect is if you build it, they will come and feel the dreams. And this has now become, if you build it, he will come. And there'll be some that will argue, well, he's talking about his father. And others are saying, no, they. And at the end, when you see so many coming to, you know, driving into the field, you know, obviously it would make a heck of a lot more sense.
Well, the they makes sense because you're talking about teams and
yes,
players
exactly.
on teams showing up. It wouldn't be a specific individual, it'd be they.
Of course it would. Yeah, so later, you know, his father, of course, does come and show up. I think we can go on and on with quite a few of these, but I think what I would also like to discuss is why the obvious changes, why something so obvious giving a message to so many that things are different now. Do you remember sex in the city, Dave, or do you remember sex and the city?
Oh, it was in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too.
Yeah,
course,
because it implied that the people lived in that metropolitan area, and they were participating in that area, and so, therefore, if they had sex or sexual linkups or hookups or whatever, then it would be sex in the city, not something besides the city, which would be sex and the city. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, I went into a kind of a thrift store yesterday that seems to have a bunch of movies because I wanted to compare a few things. And, of course, there seems to be some crossover things. You can still find things on the Berenstain Bears here and there. I still see many different things in Google Images of if you build it, they will come. These are old images that are still very much a part of the Google Images when you get into Fields of Dream. So you see they will come, and you see he will come. So a lot of the things in writing seem to be crossing over. And I wanted, of course, to get into some of these movies that are thrift store movies that may have been in there for quite some time and see if they seem to say some of the things that we used to remember. Now, I know that I definitely remember in Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, or a beautiful day in this neighborhood, and versus beautiful day in the neighborhood. Which one do you remember?
Well, in the neighborhood, because
that's what I remember also.
I mean, I just can't see Mr. Rogers being not inclusive where he'd say, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. And that would lead to the obvious question, well, okay, so there's another neighborhood where it's not a beautiful day. I mean, that just makes sense where he said, well, if you're special enough to be in my neighborhood, it's a beautiful day here, but I'm sorry about your neighborhood. That's what it implies. And so it's much more general when you say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Everybody can personalize that.
Absolutely. It just totally, you know, one word just totally changes the whole direction of where the consciousness is going. That's what is so most disconcerting. It's like you're going one direction and then you come up to the signs that say go this way and they're pointing every direction. Or they're pointing a totally opposite direction, which means that our consciousness is going to follow in a different direction. And I think that's what's most disconcerting of all. Remember Forrest Gump? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And, of course, when you play the trailer, you get life was like a box of chocolates. And we're like, how could that be said? That doesn't make any sense. This is not past tense.
Right.
Well, I got the movie Forrest Gump yesterday. I picked it up because when I looked at the back of this, it clearly, here he is holding hands with his mother. And it says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I thought, hooray, I found something from As I Remember It. This is going to be great. And I plugged this movie in, And I sat down and watched it. And sure enough, when the time came for him to have this line of life is like a box of chocolates, he looks at this person on the park bench and says, life was like a box of chocolates, and I almost fell off the couch.
Wow.
It changed. It changed.
Was this a videotape?
No, this is the real movie. This is a real movie that came out of a case where the back says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, what, was this a tape, though, or a DVD?
It's a DVD.
Okay, so it's a more modern one. So the case doesn't match what's on the...
It doesn't match what's on the back of the box.
Wow.
And there was a few other things that I noted as I watched the movies. There was a line where when Jenny comes back to see him at his house, I remember him looking at her sleeping and said, she must have been real tired because she slept for 3 days. I remember this very, very well. She slept for 3 days. That wasn't ever said in the movie I watched last night. She just kept sleeping and going and going. I thought that line wasn't there.
Huh.
There were some other changes that I noted, just little slips that I remember, Jenny, if you sick, I take care of you. And I heard, I take care of you is sick. It switched up.
Huh.
I also remember her asking him to marry her. And he said, okay. That wasn't in the movie that I watched last night. So time somehow changed the DVD that was in a box that originally stated the movie completely different.
Yeah.
The movie in this box should have stated exactly, you know, in this case, should have stated exactly what it said. And I have pictures of this, Dave, that I will simply send to you. You can put it up on your website if people look at this because they're like, really? You know, you probably read the box wrong or, you know. No, it's obvious. It's sitting here right in front of me. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And the original movie, in this case, was completely different than what it advertised or claimed was one of the greatest lines in movie history.
Well, this may also explain something that for years, almost for decades now, because it's been in a lot of trivia contests, is the line from Casablanca. And everybody remembers it, play it again, Sam.
Yeah.
And yet people come out and they say in the trivia contest, that's wrong. He never says, play it again, Sam. He says, play it, Sam, or something like that, but never the word again. And yet, now looking back, you might say, wow, when people first saw that, they did hear play it again, Sam, you know, because that's such a key line, you know, coming up to the end. And now, in fact, play it again, Sam makes sense in terms of sort of the concept of what's happening in the relationship that he's having and the concept of being with background of war, you know, all these things that could be happening again and again in the future and, you know, have happened, you know, for all of history. So the line actually makes more sense that way. But if you look at the modern, you know, people who do all the trivia contests, you know, they'll point, oh, no, the words in the movie are play it, Sam, you know, or play it, Sam, something like that.
Yeah,
so that might have been an early version of this, yeah.
Yeah, things are starting to... I think things have been starting to shift bit by bit by bit, little by little. If it was a total, complete shift overnight, we would all think we're waking up in a dream. We wouldn't know what happened to us. And the thing is our consciousness has to follow the flow of the new consciousness and the direction it's going. or we're going to be very discombobulated. And I think a lot of people have experienced discombobulation. I think a lot of people have even experienced physical illness as a result of trying to acclimate to the new consciousness coming in. I think people have gotten anxiety or even panic, not because they're seeing that, Luke, I am your father, is now, no, I am your father. I think it's happening because things as we know it, as we've always held on to as icons in our consciousness, have suddenly all shifted and changed it, changed what we know, and then, of course, we're going in a different flow of mass consciousness, which means that we have to acclimate our own consciousness as we know it into a whole different vibration, frequency, and thought. And I think this has turned a lot of people upside down. I really do. Even if they're not even aware of the Mandela effect, they're feeling shaking or uneasy or feeling a sense of dread because things are not as they know it or not even as they may even remember a path that they used to hike on as a kid, and they go back to see that path and what path and never existed. Islands that I never even heard of geographically are popping up. I never heard these names before. How did a chunk come out of Australia, Dave? I mean, somebody make an Australia sandwich and take a big bite out of it. I remember clearly a ferry going over to the Rock of Gibraltar through the strait right there. And
yeah.
It appears that it's now on the inland peninsula of Australia. And people remember documentaries of these ferries going into the Rock of Gibraltar, but yet if you pull up these same documentaries, they're definitely talking about the Rock of Gibraltar on this inland peninsula of Australia.
No, Australia. It's on the Mediterranean.
Oh, is that where it's setting? All right, but it's off.
It's right at the mouth to the Mediterranean, between the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. But yeah, a lot of people remember the Rock of Gibraltar as being a separate thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it appears that it's connected like a peninsula. So.
And now, isn't something like that going on in New York? We remember the ferry to Manhattan, and now there's a bridge.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know my New York geography.
Yeah, yeah. Many are saying, I remember taking that ferry, you know, across in New York to get to Manhattan, and the ferry's the only way you get there, and now there's a bridge. How did that get there? So, you know, and they don't remember it, and people are like, hey, it's always been there. What has the heck happened to you? I remember South America being almost directly underneath North America. Now it appears to be very much to the east of North America. And I remember Mongolia. I don't remember it being a country. I don't remember China being the size that it is. And there's also changes in human anatomy that are starting to pop up that I don't remember. So I would have to think that our bodies are changing to the anatomy of this timeline and not as we remember it in the timeline we had. And, of course, people are finding old clips, some old things. I know that when I looked at the YouTube, whoever put out the song with all the old clips, Ordinary World, you see many, many things like Oscar Mayer. Do you remember, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody would like me, and it was M-E-Y-E-R. Well, I looked up advertisements of shows that were done back into the, that appeared back in the 70s with commercials. One was the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, and it clearly shows M-A-Y-E-R. The thing is, this theme song was very predominant when I was growing up. I wish it was an Oscar Mayer wiener, M-E-Y-E-R.
Uh-huh.
And that song, that theme song, never appeared in this commercial, as though it never existed in the first place. I saw a lot of other themes that went with Oscar Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, in these commercials, but this theme song that we used to hum, and it became such kind of a one of those classic commercials for us, doesn't appear to have ever existed.
Well, and there's another one with that. Is My Baloney has a first name in the song. It's O-S-C-A-R.
Oh,
My Baloney has
wow.
a second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R.
Oh, wow.
Because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Baloney. Okay. Well, I saw one on the Baloney in this old commercial. I didn't hear the theme song at the Wiener. Also, I don't remember a Brady Bunch Variety Hour growing up. Do you?
No, nope, never heard of
one
it.
One of the guys made a huge point of this Brady Bunch Variety Hour. And I remember the Brady Bunch growing up and watching this show all the time. And here it is, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. That's on YouTube. And this has been brought up by others that are on YouTube. I mean, this guy brings up clips, and he's saying, when did this happen? But
yeah.
There was a season where they kind of appeared once a month, and there was about 10 to 12 different shows of this. And I went ahead and pulled them up and watched them, and that's where I saw the old Oscar Mayer commercials on there with the spelling M-A-Y-E-R. And I was just dumbfounded. But I got to say, Dave, as I watched these variety hours with them, and they were fun, actually. You know, it was kind of a fun concept, I thought. I'm not used to them all singing and dancing. It was kind of different for me. And they even had these swimmers. And when you look it up on Wikipedia, it talks all about that. Well, this, I'm sure if you talk to Florence Henderson today, she would say, yes, of course. I sang, I danced, I did all of this. What is the matter with you guys saying that these shows never existed?
Yeah.
Well, I have to think about that. Well, certainly the Florence Henderson in the timeline we came from would tell us, I never did that. But this Florence Henderson says, of course I did these shows, and we have all kinds of memories of this. Where are you guys coming from? And so it makes you wonder, is this a Florence Henderson that's in this timeline that has always been in this timeline? Or did her consciousness shift into the timeline of today where she clearly remembers doing these shows, but the one that we know in our timeline, as we remember it, would have not remembered? So where is the point where our consciousness of the older timeline is shifting into the new consciousness of this timeline? Obviously, there are alternate us's that exist in this timeline, have always existed in this timeline, and are our memories merging into the consciousness? We remember things very differently, but is it going to happen as the timeline keep coming into play and we're noticing more and more changes? Are we merging more into the template of the alternate us's that exist in this timeline? When you have somebody who has died as we remember it, but he's very much alive, did he or she get sick in that timeline, such as Muhammad Ali living 3 more years as we remember it? And did he wake up in this timeline and say, oh, well, I got better, and I will continue to exist, and the consciousness merged? Or is this the Muhammad Ali that has always existed in this particular timeline? He just recently died. Or, has this been, he's always existed, and he died in our timeline, or did his consciousness merge into this timeline? I know that I have done readings of those who have lost people to suicide, but then I see them very much alive in an alternate timeline, and I don't know how to explain this to a parent whose kid that may have died, and they are missing them terribly. Oh, yeah, but he's alive over here, or she's alive over here. That would be pretty cruel to say that to someone. Well, great, transfer me to that timeline so I can have my kid back. Do you mind? That would be pretty devastating. So you would have to wonder, if they're still alive in another timeline, did the consciousness of this timeline merge into an alternate timeline in order so they could continue their mission? Or did they simply completely take over the template of the consciousness of the person that's always been here? And we know that we have heard of people waking up, a woman who woke up in a timeline where she found that she worked in a completely, I had her name, but I don't remember what her name is. I actually had it written down. She winds up waking up in a completely different timeline where she has the old boyfriend she had broken up with, the boyfriend of 4 months that she had recently started dating didn't exist anymore. She finds herself working in a different department than she, in the same, in a different building, same job, but she's in a different department. She notices different bed sheets when she wakes up, and her life is completely different than as she remembers it, but she's clearly now existing in a different timeline physically. Density has taken place. She pretty much looks the same. And she's desperate to get back into her old timeline.
Yeah.
And ask for help because she wants to get back to the life she knew. And then, of course, you get a guy that gets a passport, you know, from a country named Tarig with all kinds of stamps on it that they can't understand it because they never heard of the country. And this guy turns and walks away and disappears into oblivion. You've heard of people just fading away and disappearing.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the Bermuda Triangle has also changed as we know it seems to have be over landmass now. As I remember it, it was always over the ocean.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I would like to pick your wonderful brain to talk about consciousness templates, dead zones, as you have recently discovered a very interesting theory about what could be happening right now. I would love to hear what you think about what is going on, is how we are taking over the consciousness in this timeline, how we're acclimating, or how this is all coming together. And if you think that some of us are acclimating into more consciousness into this timeline more than others, and just what your theories are in general, and then I have some theories of my own, and perhaps we can put our heads together. So I'd love to hear what you think is going on.
Sure. Well, going back, one of the solutions to quantum mechanics and the whole concept is called multiple universes or the multiverse. And I happen to really like that because I've had experiences interacting with parallel universes. From my point of view, as you go through life and you make critical decisions that have life-changing implications, such as you're going to ask somebody to marry you and they agree, I believe that what also happens there is as soon as you make a decision like that, then you spin off alternate universes where you made decisions that are different than that about the same issue. So if you decide to marry Betty in this life, then as soon as that decision is made, you may have parallel universes where you stay single or you marry Joan. And that way your soul can have that experience of all those options. And when I've talked to my guides about how many parallel universes that it would take to accomplish all these big decisions, I pictured, you know, what is this, 5,000, 10,000 parallel universes? And they said, no, just 200 to 300 will do it. So this, it also gets into a very metaphysical question about you and your creating your own reality. So by your decisions, to a certain degree, you do create your own realities, and it's kind of mind-boggling and humbling to think that I spin off a whole other parallel universe or existence to try this other thing, and then you start thinking about, well, what is the free will of the people around me? What consciousness creates that backdrop or scenario for things going on? I have had a number of experiences in various ways where I've been shown things. One of them was a number of years ago, my wife and I were invited to an art show, a gallery showing by a friend of ours, and she was one of three artists there, and it was a First Friday thing. So it was from 5 to 7 in a storefront art gallery. We showed up around 5:30 and immediately found my friend Sophia's artwork, and it was displayed, but I couldn't find Sophia. She wasn't there. And we stayed there, looked at all the art, and we were there for about 45 minutes. And finally gave up, but we snacked, we had the carrot sticks, the gallery owner was there, a photographer was there taking pictures of the guests. So we finally give up. I figure Sophia had an emergency. We go home. I send Sophia an email and kind of tweak her a little bit, saying it's kind of cheeky to invite your friends to a gallery showing, and then you don't even show up to your own show. The next afternoon, she writes back and says, Dave, I found your email very interesting because I was there the entire time. And she had gone back with that information and met with the gallery owner, and they went through all the pictures from the photographer, and my wife and I didn't show up in any of those pictures. So I was in, my wife and I were in a parallel universe that was very, very close. It was indistinguishable. There's nothing of note except for the fact that Sophia wasn't there. Everything else was identical, as far as I know. I didn't have any other milestones to check against. So I have experienced that. So as we start talking about parallel universes, then the other thing that's happening that people are getting a lot of hits on, including myself, is that a number of these parallel universes that are close to us are so close that they're starting to touch and bump into us. The veil is very thin between us and them. And so maybe you do have the possibility that you might inadvertently run into a copy of yourself. And I've done that before, too, where I was in a Las Vegas casino in Luxor in a big atrium where they have all their shows on the upper level. And I was stuck in line for a show, and I looked across about 30 feet away, there was me. Same outfit, same hat. I was wearing a straw hat for the sun. Glasses, same shirt, same pants, everything. It was my identical twin dressed exactly the same way. And I really wanted to get out of line and go over and see him, but we were about to enter the show, so I couldn't. And in talking to intuitives later, they said, yeah, that was a parallel universe. Dave that had dropped in here temporarily. And so if those things are happening, then it's easy to see that with the variety of decisions being made and choices, that we could potentially have parallel universes on a bigger scale, not just for one individual, but for multiple people, where they are starting to overlap and things are having to be adjusted to make them mesh properly. And for the listeners, one of the things I've talked to Shirley about is the concept of a thing called a dead space. And this came through to me in a meditation that if you have two parallel universes and picture them as flat sheets of plastic and they need to overlay and line up, then it would be helpful, like in plastic models and things, where one side might have some bumps that stick up and the other side has recesses, so that when the two come together and link up, that the alignment is totally correct. But that might also mean that where you have these bumps and sockets, that you might have a place where there are discontinuities or funny things happen. And that's what was told to me, that they were working energetically on these areas that they called dead spaces. And I suppose they're dead space because since they're used for alignment, they may not be a place where information interacts or comes across. And people, if they wander into those places, however that looks, might find discontinuities there that something seems really wrong, seems really out of place here. It doesn't fit, or it didn't come through. Pardon me for just a second. So I think there's different ways to view this. Like all of this stuff, we're so stuck with a 3D concept of the world that it's hard for us to imagine hyperdimensions and other things happening like this and what the implications are for information coming across, because we use very big terms like Akashic records and things. But it really seems, though, that as our energy is ramping up over the past 3 years, where it looks like we're approaching some major event or shift or change that's going to have a lot of impact for all of us, that things are starting to gel, but they're also creating paradoxes or discontinuities, things like that, where you have maybe an older group of people who remember TV shows and movies from the 60s and 70s, where we're starting to see disconnects there. But there may also be a possibility that with the millennials, people in their 20s and 30s, that they are perceiving disconnects from what they remember from their childhood, that, you know, their parents or other older adults didn't notice the details they're looking at, whether it's cartoon shows or whether it's the advent, the very rapid advent of the internet and coming into play and cell phones and texting and all the social media, that there may be things that older folks like me, I'm 60, we didn't notice, but they are noticing, but also to a certain degree they are sort of avoiding the issue, and there may be a little bit of fear or concern or just blowing it off that, well, you can't trust anything on the internet, so I'm not going to worry about a detail that I think has changed. Or it could even manifest where for people in my generation, we get a little bit disturbed about what seems like for younger people, difficulties they have with history in the 20th century. You know, what caused World War One? What caused World War Two? What caused the Vietnam War? We don't want to repeat these things, and we notice that there seems to be a lack of knowledge about that by younger people that would allow them to make the same mistakes that we made. So there may be some disconnects between generational groups too.
I totally agree with all of that, Dave. I'm actually, kind of concerned because, many say that the Holocaust never happened. Others are saying that there were Holocausts that happened in places that we never heard of. And I've also heard that they're not wanting to teach history in the schools anymore, which gives a really kind of scary thought that I'm sure there's an alternate timeline where the Germans won the war. And
mm-hmm.
Corey Bibb talks about this, and he talks about that there's a timeline under very, very oppressive rule where the Germans run the world, or the Nazis run the world. Not the Germans, because not all Germans were Nazis, but the Nazi philosophy is the leaders in that world. And they all have, names of Hitler up on the wall, and Hitler's like God to them in this world. And who knows what happened to the people that were oppressed in that world. And we all know that the Holocaust, as we know it, killed 12 million people. 6 million were Jewish, yes, but there were also Gypsies and pacifists and those who opposed the philosophy of Hitler at that time were all put into camps. When they came into Poland because they wanted to make room for their troops, they just threw people into camps just to get them out of the way.
Right.
It was a terrible atrocity, and it wasn't. the Jewish people as anyone who didn't agree with the Nordic religion that they came up with. They made the Catholic religion the head of state. Once they, you know, in order to come into power, to support them, and then of course they started throwing the priests and nuns in the camps and attacking the Catholic Church because they developed their own religion, their own Nordic religion. So I would have to think of that timeline, that Nordic religion is the religion of the world. Well, this is a, you know, just a mind-boggling and very frightening thought to us. But in their world, they've accepted this, and this is the way it is. So what we consider a problem, of course, you know, in their world, perhaps, who knows how they are handling it, or they may adhere very much to the philosophy of the consciousness that has been presented to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that I agree with you, Dave, that we talked about how DNA works. And only does space have DNA, the Earth has DNA, and we are made up of DNA, and the physical body is made up of information. And we know that if you have a positive and a negative, and something is sitting in neutrality, and it starts to move a little more to the negative, it will go negative. If it starts to move a little more to the positive, it will go positive. So
yeah.
I agree with you that we are acclimating into a world that has been the closest to our world as we knew it, or have known it. And this is the world that is closest to what we have known. And I think that I remember a yellow sun. I remember drawing a yellow sun. The sun is clearly white. It's a white sun.
Yeah.
And the clouds look surreal to me. It looks like somebody painted them on the sky. The clouds look totally different to me. And the human DNA is it's a biological internet that's in our bodies, and it's very similar, but much more superior to the artificial internet. Now, I'm going to take some things that an article I found called Russian DNA Discoveries Regarding Time, and I'm going to compare these, some of this of what I've got, into what we have talked about, because I think this is very similar to a lot of our own theories as to what has been happening. And this information is taken from the book Vernetza Intelligence. I'm not sure I got this correct, but von Grasnia, Father, and Franz Bludorf are the authors. So I do want to give them credit for this article that I'm going to get into. Now, according to their findings, our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but it serves as data storage and communication. Now, I do know when I have done matrix energetics and I do my activations, I bring in information out of alternate timelines, just as you, Dave. We make a copy of this information and we bring it into the folks that we are helping. Perhaps they have a cut finger in this life, and there's an alternate them that does not have a cut finger, and we bring in that information, and they heal very quickly. We are storage, and we are data, and 90% of our DNA is junk DNA. This is DNA we don't even know how it's acting like. We don't even know what it's doing, but we do know that they're making new organs in Russia out of this junk DNA, and this is like only using 10% of our brain. That DNA, which is a vast storage of information and communication, that is coming in to our timeline that we are integrating into our physical body. And then as our anatomy is changing, that makes things even more interesting. So the Russian linguists found that the genetic code, apparently the useless 90%, follows the same rules as all our human languages. And, of course, as an engineer, today, we're very aware that DNA is language. And it will communicate to that of which it understands. Now, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, which I found very interesting, we all know that I've talked about my activations and how DNA works with that and how DNA works as going in and out. And if you look it up in any scientific journal or look it up on the Internet, DNA is always in motion. It always moves. It moves in and out at all times. Well, in my discoveries about wormholes, so do wormholes. Wormholes do not move in a flow. they pump like DNA, and they move in and out at all times. So if we have tunnel connections between entirely different areas in the universe, and this is from their book here, this paragraph, the DNA attracts these bits of information and passes them onto our consciousness. And this process of hypercommunication, telepathy channeling, is most effective, especially when we're in a state of relaxation. I would have to think that in our sleep, in a state of subconscious or inner consciousness, is when a lot of these changes are taking place, and then these changes become more evident to us in our conscious, or, you know, everyday life. So when we're looking at what we call, you know, dead zones that are attracting consciousness, these are neutral zones that are starting to move into sources of information, and then they start to act like wormholes, and they start to bring this information in. So when we have information patterns of a particular DNA and it's transmitted into another, going back in the book, thus reprogramming cells into another genome, they have transformed, for example, frog embryos into salamander embryos simply by transmitting the DNA information patterns. And what happens is this person or this being starts to react and think like a salamander. And this way, the entire information was transmitted without any side effects or disharmonies encountered when cutting out and reintroducing single keys of the DNA. So this is kind of a world-transforming revolution and a sensation by applying the vibration to sound frequencies and language instead of doing an archaic type of surgery instead. And so they have found that by using sound frequencies, sound, you can change the DNA in the body, thus changing the DNA in the atmosphere. Now, in talking about these dead zones that you're talking about, there's a paragraph here that I think could apply to these dead zones. And these Russian scientists found that our DNA can cause disturbing patterns in a vacuum, thus producing a magnetized wormholes. And wormholes are the microscopic equivalents of the so-called Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes left by burned-out stars. So, Dave, I'm going to ask you if you think that it is possible that these dead zones that are appearing, because I don't think they've always been there. I think they started, it's like having a crack in this, you know, in the earth, things start to shift, cracks start to come open. Things start shifting, and these cracks and these dead zones appear as cracks within the DNA structure because things are changing. I mean, it's bound to happen. When you have an earthquake that's shaking everything up, here comes these cracks in our foundation as we know them. So what I'm going to ask you, Dave, do you think it's possible that these dead zones that you have picked up, what you've told about, are actually magnetized wormholes, that they are the conduits for the new information or the new timeline that they're moving us into a new, different timeline? Do you think that the old Earth has become a new Earth, or do you think that some of us, not all of us, have moved our consciousness into this timeline, and there's still the old Earth at the timeline as we remember it that has had a very different density? Do you think it still exists or does not exist? And what do you think is the reason why this had to happen? Why the shift? What is going on here? I know that there are people who talked about the old Earth, the new Earth coming in. This is old Earth, just a mad max of a mess because wars happened there. I know that Al Bielek talked about the Earth as he knew when he went into the future, like 2045, you know, he was told that the Earth had experienced a World War III by 2015. And also, there were huge earth changes that have fallen into the ocean. So obviously, he was in an alternate timeline whose past was another timeline. But could this have been the old earth that we were originally on? And it's just a mess. And a lot of our consciousness moved into this timeline in order to create a new earth or to live in this timeline, to keep surviving. We are the... forgive the phone in the background here. We are the first of this 26,000 cycle, a generation that has survived.
Yeah.
That honestly has survived. And did we survive by moving into a new consciousness? And did these cracks appear as we are moving into the consciousness? And there has to be templates of an alternate us existing in order to come into the alternate us. You saw an alternate you that was dressed exactly as you were, that made the same decision that morning, and it would be very easy to move your Dave as you saw it into that alternate day very easily. You guys were on a very similar template.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm asking is, do you think these cracks appeared because we're coming into this timeline? Do you think that more consciousness of some are coming into our template there than others? Do you feel that there are some who have died on that old earth, you know, and the alternate thems have remained the same? And do you believe that it is possible that these wormholes are truly microscopic equivalents of a vacuum? They are a vacuum, and now as they're moving into this timeline, they're bringing in and setting in the new information through electric magnetic frequency, as burned out stars are able to bring in these tunneled connections. So I'm going to get into your wonderful brain and theories of what you believe is happening. I know I presented a very open-ended question to you, so I'm going to hang out and listen to you.
Well, first, several weeks ago in one of my meditations, I periodically go and look at doing healings on the planet Earth. And one morning, as I was looking at the Earth, I saw a great big brown rift that was in the southern hemisphere in the ocean. And it looked like, you know, looking at a globe, it was maybe one-third away around the circumference of the Earth at that point, which was far south in the southern hemisphere. So I worked on healing that. So I think when you talk about rifts and or energy cracks or things like that, yeah, I think those things may be happening at a high vibrational level that still has a significant effect or possibility of effect on us. There's no doubt in my mind that energetically we're in a big shift now, and I think this is part of the motivation why we seem to be seeing recently so much religious antagonism between the world religions, particularly with the angst of the Islamic world towards the West. So I don't know if that is happening because they're looking for that to come out on the table and start finding resolutions and giving us an opportunity, or if that is a harbinger of a split where one part of the population of the planet goes to a higher vibration place and another part either stays here or goes to a lower vibration place. And, you know, I don't say that as a way of, you know, expressing a bias or anything or a spiritual snootiness. It's just that I think we're in a sort of a winnowing process on based on your consciousness where you're going. This is frequently a model that's used for people who've passed and they're going to the spiritual plane, and there are multiple layers in the spiritual plane, and you sort of gravitate to the layer that matches your level of spiritual development. Maybe we're seeing more of that manifesting almost in a physical way with us, where we may see alternate realities, alternate Earths parallel universes, that type of thing, where we're going to start seeing some sorting out. I do believe that this planet we're on is a very unique experiment, and what I've gotten in my meditation is that this is the third time this was tried, and this is the first one that's successful. So there are a lot of spiritual beings and other realms of beings who are very interested in keeping this experiment going and not allowing it to fail, where failure might be defined as a global nuclear war that essentially just lays waste to the planet, or having a major asteroid hit that lays waste to the planet, those types of things. So there's a reason we're here, but I think definitely we're seeing shifts in consciousness. And part of that shifting is starting to change the past. Now, is this going to accelerate? Are we going to get people more shaky and nervous as they start questioning what they remember from their childhood about even family members who were alive at that time? And it's like, you know, I know as a kid I had an Uncle Bill. And now when I look on the family tree, the family history, nobody acknowledges an Uncle Bill. What happened to Uncle Bill? And are we going to start having events like that? I don't know. They're going to really upset people, put them in a very uncomfortable place if they start noticing effects like that that are very much a personal thing, where they just are absolutely rock solid in their memory, and their memory is of another universe, not this one, or another parallel existence, not this one specifically, and therefore some of the things don't click. But definitely we're in a path. If you look at the major events, this is sort of Dave's condensed history. We have some type of prototype modern human coming along, and then suddenly, around 10 to 12,000 years ago, a miracle occurs, and we suddenly have people cultivating fruit trees out of trees that didn't traditionally produce edible fruit. We have people cultivating grasses into grain crops, so now they can have a sustainable food supply and start putting down some roots, looking like towns or cities. We have domesticated animals show up, so now we have cows and horses and dogs and cats that get along with humans and don't run away and remain feral. And we did all this with people at a lifespan of, you know, you're pretty old if you hit 30. And how did you transmit that information if you didn't have writing, where when you hybridize things and create crops and stuff, that's probably multi-generational. So somehow there we got to help, whether you say it's a shift in consciousness or you say we had either ETs or spiritual beings who provided, you know, support and direction, things like that. Well, we kind of came along and things were pretty good until we hit the Bronze Age. And the Bronze Age suddenly gave people durable, very strong weapons. And suddenly we shifted to consciousness where you had people who said, well, we could do it the hard way, and that's to grow our own crops, or we could do it the easy way and steal the crops from somebody else growing them and make them our slaves. And so we started essentially concepts of economic warfare, of crossing borders and taking what we wanted. So we kind of went, we had some spiritual leaders show up, you know, around 400, 500 BC. We had the Buddha and Buddhism. We had Christ show up around zero and come up with new messages and lead to something called Christianity. Around 500 or 600, we had Islam form. But things were pretty stagnant. We didn't really have golden ages in there. We had people on their own doing experiments with a little bit of medicine. And there's a little bit of mathematical development and some theory. And the Greeks did quite a bit of philosophy. But the next big push is when we hit the Renaissance, and suddenly we have a split between science and religion, and we come up with the scientific method where we look for things, you know, is it repeatable and is it predictable? That's sort of the core of science. And that took off, and then we had the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s, and suddenly things really accelerated. So we have that odd story of my, I had a grandmother or great-grandmother lived to be 104, and she survived in her lifetime to see crossing the plains in a covered wagon to seeing man walking on the moon in a single lifetime. The technology and the knowledge base acceleration, and now we're at a point with the internet providing such universal access to information and knowledge that they estimate something like every 12 to 14, 16 months, something like that, we are doubling the total sum knowledge of humanity in that short of a time. So you kind of have to ask with all that acceleration, what's next? What's next? And we're starting to see vibrational shifts in other ways. And, you know, maybe without the internet, we would never would have noticed a lot of this stuff because, frankly, a lot of people just, you know, they don't go to the library, they don't read books, they don't get magazines that have observable facts in them. And so the majority of people in the 50s and 60s probably would have missed the Mandela effect if it's happening from things they remembered in the 1930s and 1940s. Who knows? But certainly now with the widespread media dissemination in all forms and from all time periods, we're starting to find that there are people who remember these things, and they remember them as a cultural thing, and it's really changing. And so, yeah, I think this is one more flag for a lot of people who, when you talk to them, because another thing we have now is a lot of disenchantment with traditional religion. If you ask people, are you religious? A lot of people say no. But if you ask, are you spiritual? They say yes. But they don't necessarily know in a lot of cases how to define that spirituality other than to say, there are certain places that make me feel like I am noticing my connection to the universe or to the creator in ways that are meaningful to me. Can I define that? Not really. Well, I think things like this are going to force a lot of people to start saying, wow, my 3D reality, knock on the table, it's solid, it's there. Those concepts are shifting. As you know, I do a lot of energy and entity clearing work, and many more people who, whatever you think would be the reasons that people have to do clearings, it's not tied into their belief structure. So I end up with clients who they may know a little bit about metaphysics or New Age concepts or things like that. In a lot of cases, they don't. They're either churchgoers or non-traditional, but they are used to this. And so, you know, wow, okay, so some of you have entities in your house that are doing things in your house. How did that happen? Another big shift we see on this consciousness, again, is children are great because children don't have adult filters, and so they'll report exactly what they see. And now we have lots of 3- and 4-year-olds who are showing up, or their parents are showing up to see me at metaphysical fairs, saying, my kid has seen earthbound spirits walking around the house. What should I do? And to me, that's another indicator that we're going through a major energy shift where rather than sort of being turned off after birth and forgetting your soul connection to the spiritual plane or to the creator, that connection is being left turned on. And kids are popping up with this. And infants are watching something moving around above them towards the ceiling. And they don't have any filters to say that people shouldn't fly. So they're entertained. So, yeah, it's I know I've kind of wandered all over the map on this, but there's just so much happening that I see this as one more effect to, in a lot of cases, make people sit up and take notice that there are things we can't explain through normal means.
I have to agree with you, Dave. I know that my work certainly accelerated in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, things, you know, concepts came in that I know that I would not have thought before I was doing the more traditional type of work, even so. And here came in the templates and the activations and the numerical sequences and the act of neutralizing as a form of opposition. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go with something else from this book, and then I'm going to communicate to what I think might be happening also.
Okay.
The Russian scientists, irradiated right, it's like aluminum, yeah, with laser light. And a typical wave pattern was formed. And when they removed the DNA sample, the wave pattern did not disappear. It remained.
Right.
So here I'm going to stop and tell you that I think templates of consciousness can be formed. And they can, and even if the consciousness is removed that formed that template in the first place, the wave pattern of that template still remains. Okay? So it remains. And many controlled experiments show that the pattern continued to come from the removed sample, whose energy field apparently remained by itself. This effect is now called the phantom DNA effect. So DNA has its own ghost. DNA leaves imprints. It is surmised that energy from outside of space and time still flows through the activated wormholes after the DNA was removed. The side effects encountered most often in hypercommunication in humans were unexplained electric magnetic fields in the vicinity of the person's concern. So what this tells you is that wave patterns are templates and they have electromagnetic fields which communicate wave patterns of consciousness which we can pick up and think is a reality. Now, I do think this new Earth that we're coming into, I have found that many, many, almost all of those that I know as more spiritually activated individuals have all seemed to have been coming into this new Earth. Not necessarily only, but I just noticed a lot of people, as you said, that question the traditional religions and this type of thing seem to be very aware of the changes that are coming in and very cognizant of the changes in wave patterns. But that does not mean that these templates created do not have ghosts or do not have specters of themselves that transferred into the new consciousness. I think what the new consciousness is doing is eradicating these templates of thought,
yeah,
such as the narcissistic God, such as the control, the illusion, the self-worth issues. I do believe that Christ, in doing the what they call the crucifixion, changed the consciousness of the world at that time. And the phone always rings when I'm getting to this most important point. So when you've got a change of consciousness, okay, and a change of consciousness that is coming in through these wave flows, it's going to bump up against these templates. So when you start neutralizing these templates through our healings, through our meditations, through our thoughts, and you get a very powerful, what I call an initiation, a very powerful flow of changing the consciousness. Obviously, we all have different views of the crucifixion and how it affected the world. And some say, you know, he was just when I went through something. Others say he never existed. Others say this, that, the other thing. Others say he died for sins. And this changed, you know, our connection with God the Father. Regardless, consciousness was changed at that point. And they saw an eclipse was, you know, recorded at that time. You know, we have theories that he came back into an ectoplasmic type of appearance or he simply resurrected and came back. Others say he did not die at that time. Through the Gnostic gods, he actually was thought of as dead and then went out through the back area of the cave after being nursed back to life. You hear a lot of this. Regardless of any of these theories, any of these things that people say, absolutely, this is what happened. Yes, of course, he died for our sins. Well, in many ways, as a metaphor, he did. whether it's direct or indirect, consciousness was changed at that point. When Buddhism came in and Buddha came in and made a powerful impact on the world at that point, consciousness was changed. We have Muhammad, consciousness was changed. Any effect of these great spiritual leaders, great spiritual teachers that have come through, a change of consciousness and the flow of consciousness always changed. Now, one of the things that I've always adhered to with the activations that I'm doing, that you are doing, Dave, and maybe we do them differently, but we are doing activations that are changing in all timelines and all parallel universes, alternate universes, the direct universes, because consciousness is universal, and we can always communicate with our alternate selves at all levels if we so choose to. We are interacting at all times as all consciousness as at once. And what we call forms or shadows is what I could call templates. Templates are created by our consciousness. We infuse them, we create them, and we give them life. But long after the life-giving embryo that created these consciousness, even if the DNA is removed, which gave them in the first place, they still have wave frequencies of communication. They're still communicating. They are a template that resonates much the same a radio program would resonate. And many of these templates make up the worlds as we know them, make up the universes, these templates of consciousness. But what happens is they really are, in a sense, dead inside. They're simply transmitting from the original DNA that programmed them. The DNA leaves. But they're just transmitters. They're transmitters. And we pick up this consciousness and we make them our reality and we start living according to these templates, which that we believe are the conditions of our reality. And this is the only way we can believe and this is the only way we can think, because saying to someone, you can only believe and think one way or you are going to go to hellfire and brimstone, is a template of thought in itself that has consciousness, which will punish you, make you feel guilty, which will inherently connect into your DNA of thought. And what will happen is you will live that reality of hell, fire, and brimstone in heaven. And it will become very much a reality. And if that template can be reinfused with your own belief system, which will give it higher consciousness, or more dense consciousness, not higher, more density of thought, which makes it even more real, because we are dense beings that bring in information into our denseness, which become a reality, where we're a bunch of walking computers here. And so we're running around with our programmed files. What happens when those files start to decimate? Kaboom. Hey, a virus hits, and it either infuses those templates with crap, I mean just absolute, you know, nonsense, or infuses it with a higher consciousness comes in, and poof, there goes your template. Well, these templates become viruses in themselves. A virus does not destroy them. The templates themselves are the virus. And a virus in a computer is a program template meant to destroy other templates. We have a war of frequency going on. Now, here comes the dead zones that you are talking about, Dave, that's sitting in there in this neutral state that's just waiting to bring in new consciousness, new information. And certainly it's going to attract the timeline most closest to the ones we have been living in. But if that timeline of the old Earth is a dead zone now, maybe something terrible happened there. Many were predicting in 2012 the world was going to get too close to the sun and literally blow up. And a lot of them were coming out of the crop circles that were coming up. And others say, oh, no, we're going into a new Earth. So what's the old Earth, new Earth? you know, there is a YouTube over there, and I think it's Live Matrix. That's what he calls his YouTube. Anyway, he claims that he found the new Earth. He swears that we used to be located on the end of the Orion Belt. Now we're in the middle of it. And we're in a different place in space in the Milky Way system. Well, how the heck did that happen? Well, I believe that Earth was always there. I believe this is the consciousness of that Earth that we came into from the old Earth. So it's very possible that there's an old Earth that's now on Mad Max, or there's very few, you know, ascendants or descendants, you know, that are left on that planet, you know, on that old Earth, that chose to remain in the consciousness there in order to acclimate to whatever flow that they need to for their period of development. Well, which would indicate there still could be an alternate us alive on that planet. What happened to that consciousness? Is there an old us that is living out that paradigm? Did we die and we simply came into this consciousness? As we remember celebrities dying and now they're still alive? Well, certainly when you see very great movie lines being changed and Depends now becomes Depend, and we see Chick-fil-A and now it's a canon and we don't remember it that way. Things that we were very used to are in our face telling us things have changed, and I don't think that's an accident. Why are some of the greatest movie lines in history suddenly looking different and causing our mouths to drop open and going, what? Because it's in our face that things have changed. This is the way of getting our attention. And they're using the media to do it. Pay attention, folks. The world is not as you've known it, which gives us a great opportunity to change things for the better. And these templates, I truly trust as the new consciousness comes in, are going to start breaking up and dissipating and blowing up, and the consciousness of them are just the reality. It's just reality as we know it will no longer belong to the templates. They will belong to a conscious flow, an everyday flow of consciousness, and this is our evolution state that we are moving into. Because one of the things I did learn with the eight activation that I do and the healings that you do, Dave, is what happens is when you are neutralizing something, it is though it never existed in the first place. So when you finally get a template of consciousness that's really just relying on the frequency that it originally was programmed with, takes on form or shadow, and you remove or neutralize that consciousness, you have no choice but to create to go with the new flow of consciousness, a divine manifestation that is happening every minute of your creation and your waking hour. Otherwise, we resonate to a template. What's going to happen is we're going to find it increasingly harder and harder to create a new template to shove ourselves into and make it our new reality. I think they're going to neutralize it pretty much as fast as they come in. And they even proved with science that wormholes can be very fleeting. They could come in with a whole form of consciousness and go out as fast as they came in, leaving an imprint, and then those imprints of consciousness are what has been becoming the templates of our reality. Well, guess what? Reality is moving. It's moving up. And this is the world it's moving into. Not to say that those old templates aren't fighting for their life. Frequency lives. It's a living entity. A vibration, of course, will fight for its life. And I think that a lot of the conflict we're seeing of people where we're seeing things with the ISIL or the ISIS consciousness, it's a template fighting for its life, a template of consciousness. But here's the redeeming factor. The God I am is always going to prevail because we are subject to divine law, no matter what we believe, no matter what template we have created, no matter what consciousness we adhere to. Divine law is just that, by the God I am. And these templates can be private universes that have their own gods, their own rules, their own conditions. But what happens when those templates go, poof, and we don't understand or really know what that God I Am consciousness looks like? The God we've always known is this narcissistic God that demands a human worship, you know, without cause, without loyalty, or a God that can turn on you on a dime and say, well, you know, I'm not taking your gifts away because you're not acting right. There goes your salvation. You know, this is something that, you know, what God would do that to a part of itself. But yet you hear this all the time. I've been told this to my face, that you're no longer one of God's children because you don't believe as I do. I heard this very clearly, Shirley. I heard this from a very strong source of my, you know, my angel told me this. What if that angel is a part of your constructed template, which has created angels within its universe that speak to you, that would adhere to that flow of consciousness as a truth? Well, that's a mind blower, Dave. What if we're hearing are the product of templates, and we've been missing the boat in getting the real true consciousness of the God I Am? Well, the God I Am that permeates all conscious fields, and now God is not coming back into itself, will demand, because of its love, will demand that the consciousness of love prevail. And I think this is what we are starting to come into. Not that this won't be coming, huge repercussions and cracks will appear constantly. Dead zones, star zones, dead star zone, because this is going to create risk. These templates that were created by these templates of frequency versus the flow of consciousness are going to cause not only earthquakes in our atmospheres or storms, psychic storms, they're probably going to cause it in the earth, and they're probably going to cause it physically. So these are the opportunities to get out of our templates of consciousness, attached to the consciousness of the God I Am, which I would very much ask that in meditations that we ask what needs to be neutralized out of our consciousness. And understand there is always a higher power that programs these consciousness. Worker ants, even if the queen, you know, ant is far away, is transmitting the consciousness to what the worker bees do their work with. You kill the queen, you know, I mean the worker ant, you know, are they're doing their work because the queen ant is transmitting the consciousness to the DNA of the worker ant. Kill the queen and they don't know what to do. Get that? They don't know what to do. They stand there. And this is done for experimentation. Until they create a new queen, they will not start working again. When you kill a template of consciousness, even adhering to this consciousness, we're going to be like a little worker ant standing there going, what do I do now? This is what I've always known. This is what I've always adhered to. And here comes a new flow of consciousness for us to connect to. The good news is the God I Am has always been present, will be present in the past, present, and future. It never changes because it is a consciousness of love, which means divine manifestation happens at every minute and every day of our lives. We start creating through the I Am instead of creating through a consciousness of a program template, which is actually a dead template. It's just resonating frequency. It's just talking. It's language. But if we connect it to the language of the conscious world, consciousness of love and the God I Am, things are going to be very different. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think we're at a point where we just have to keep seeing what's happening, what's manifesting. And these templates, you know, for the listeners are, once again, they're another metaphor for how we think we create our universe or create our reality. And obviously, there's something big going on in the background.
Yeah, I have to agree. And all these changes we're noticing in the media are what's getting our attention. And I think that we could conjecture on and on about how much of the old earth is in the new earth. But I think that template that we knew, a lot of the templates we knew, the elders have, are probably gone, or they're changing, or they're neutralizing. So I think that what it presents us is a great opportunity for manifestation in this time, in this timeline. I know that I am not 100% comfortable in this new timeline. There's times I just feel just strange or shaky,
yeah.
or almost scared, you know, even with the work I do. Because, it, you know, the more you know, the more the more you find you don't know. And those of us who are picking up on all these changes of frequency, changes of thought, and acclimating to the DNA of a new timeline, this can be kind of freaky and very disconcerting. And this might be why so many spiritual and folks and light workers are kind of falling apart right now. Because also the templates we've used for our healing and our flows of consciousness and Reiki and all these wonderful things that we've been using might be suddenly transcending into this higher consciousness, or they're changing, or they're eradicating. This leaves us scratching our heads going, now the worker ant who lost the queen ant. Now what? Then you go to the god ant, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy, you know, it's really kind of the God that created the answer in the first place. They got to go there. Certainly they're going to be leaders. Certainly they're going to be consciousness that is available, that is of much higher frequency. You can't eradicate frequency. Math is part of God's universe. What we choose is what templates we do create, what frequency we adhere to, what information we choose to bring in now physically is going to create our reality of how we live on this planet. And if we want to give the denseness of something that no longer works with our evolution, and we keep trying to give that more denseness of consciousness, and we are demanding that that denseness still prevail, and cracks are going to start happening, not only in our own DNA. Wormholes will happen in our own DNA. The DNA moves in and out. We're literally reacting as wormholes do. And you're going to have a fight on your hands. A fight. The denseness of templates versus, you know, the denseness versus the constant flow of consciousness.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be an easy battle. And I think we're all got this battle to some extent. But the opportunity, the experiment, Dave, I think
yes.
they're rooting for us. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Well, as we wrap this up, I guess we ought to give some closing advice to people listening to this saying, what the heck am I supposed to do? And I think from my point of view, it's sort of kind of get your spiritual house in order, continue to learn about this material, continue to pursue those things or those teachers that will help you raise your vibrational level so that you have a more intuitive appreciation for what's happening all around us. And not leave this in fear saying, oh my goodness, I better go hide in the basement because bad things are coming. I don't think bad things are coming, but I think major changes may be coming, and it may make people feel uncomfortable for a while, but know that this is always, you know, happening for the best. What are your thoughts?
I think definitely to listen to your heart and listen to your gut instincts.
Uh-huh.
Even if we have truly transferred into a new timeline, always remember that all consciousness is at once, and all consciousness is communicating with all consciousness. You have not
right.
been split off from yourself. You have not been recreated. What you are is in a process of creation. You may have moved into a new timeline of events or timeline of thought, but you are still and always have been an evolution of your creation. You may have jumped off this stairwell and jumped onto another, but it's still you. Even if there's other aspects of you connected to you that are creating themselves differently, understand that you're still in communication with your other aspects. And when you bring in a higher vibration of frequency into your thought of being, that affects all your other aspects of you that are out there. You're helping to recreate their world of the alternate you. It's a win-win situation, folks. That there may be an alternate you in total fear in a timeline, that as you change and you become the higher effect, the consciousness as the God I am will always prevail. It affects all consciousness, so all alternate yous that are out there also become affected and will start to adhere into that higher consciousness of thought and being. And as we know, it is our ultimate to all go back into God and be connected to God and be a part of God, as God is always within you. God never left you. God did not abandon you. The narcissistic God will do that. The narcissistic God, or the creator God, that could speak very strongly to you because it's part of the template of frequency and it has communication. Understand, check your sources. If you're hearing something that counters your self-worth, that counters the concept of all-flowing consciousness of love, the chances are this is a program template that speaks to you. Meditate to step outside of that, to hear the God of love, of I am, who values you, who knows your self-worth as God is within you and you are within God. Strive for that always. And I think you will definitely see miracles happen.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show again, Shirley. This has been wonderful. And it's just always a joy to talk to you about these very complex but explainable situations and concepts. So thank you.
Wow. It's been an honor as always, Dave. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.